The marketplace lead is about China today opening the spigots on more lending. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The stimulus in China today takes this form. Banks will need to have less money in reserve when they lend. This will have the effect of letting Chinese banks lend perhaps hundreds of billions of dollars worth of new loans. Mark Williams is chief Asia economist at Capital Economics. Good morning.
Good morning.
Help us understand what's going on here. I remember last year, 2014, there were moves by Chinese authorities to actually rein in frothy credit in China, but this is actually going the other way.
Yeah, so the Chinese authorities are trying to juggle two things. One is that over the past few years, China's growth has been fueled by a very big increase in credit and investment, and that's raised a lot of concerns. At the same time, though, the economy has been slowing over the past few years. The past few weeks have brought some particularly weak numbers, and so I think the authorities have decided to rein back a little bit on their efforts to slow credit growth and to provide a bit more support for the economy.
We saw some share prices tumble in Asia today. Is this, do you think, the sense that the Chinese economy is worse than first thought?
Well, we got some bad economic data out of China last week. But I think that most investors would accept that the Chinese government still has quite a lot it can do to support the economies. They've just cut the required reserve ratio, but that still stands at a very high level for lots of banks. They can cut that a lot further. There's plenty more room for the government to act still.
Mark Williams is chief Asia economist at Capital Economics. He's speaking from London. Mr. Williams, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Let's check the numbers. China's investors are processing the news of the new stimulus there, but there's also disappointment there with new rules we reported on Friday that limit borrowing to buy stocks in China and make it easier to bet on a stock's decline. The key stock index in Shanghai, the CSI 300, fell 1.6% today. Hong Kong's fell 2%. In Europe, the 100-share index in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.6% range as well. New York's Andrew Cuomo will be in Havana today, the first U.S. governor to visit since frozen relations began thawing. He's fostering greater ties, and by ties, business relations can be assumed. Later this week, the International Basketball Federation and the NBA are holding a development camp in Havana. This is considered the first big foray into Cuba by big-name sports. Gigi Duban reports.
Baseball's slow. Football, too violent. Basketball's problem? That would be what Southern Utah University economist Dave Barry calls a talent balance issue, which is to say, to be a top player in the NBA, you've got to be super tall. LeBron James is 6'8". That's really hard to find.
There's just no way for it to acquire enough talent that everybody can be competitive.
That said, the NBA's clinic in Cuba is probably not a scouting trip for future NBA stars.
I think this is more about trying to build the global brand of the game.
Glenn Gerstner teaches sport management at St. John's University. He says, sure, it's about goodwill, but taking all those players and coaches to Cuba is also a smart PR move.
Considering the size of their budget, it's a relatively small amount of pay for the fact that we're talking about it right now.
And he says, if there's one game the NBA plays at a pace faster than most sports, it's the game of self-promotion. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Years ago, under another name, a shop at 2900 West 87th Street on Chicago's south side was a convenience store, which happened to sell lottery tickets. Then an entrepreneur named Chan Park took over and turned it into a kind of lottery tickets are us. Listen to this. Mr. Park sold more than $5 million worth of tickets last year. Marketplace's Dan Weissman takes us to Lucky Mart.
Lucky Mart's tellers sit behind thick glass at the ticket windows. There are still honey buns and chips on the shelves, but nobody buys any. Not in the hour and change I spend here. But the ticket machines never stop. Lucky Mart's owner, Chan Park, came to the U.S. from South Korea in 2001. He opened a laundromat. Later, he took over this store. But with three big discount supermarkets right nearby, he needed to reinvent the business. He thought,
I don't have any competitive power for that kind of grocery.
No competitive power for groceries. However, he knew the store had sold a $28 million lottery ticket. That seemed worth building on. He rebranded as Lucky Mart. Park says he believes there's something lucky about the location. He doesn't mention it, but the location has another advantage. This is an all-black neighborhood. Research shows African Americans play the lottery a lot more than other groups. About 10 minutes into our conversation, we're interrupted.
Hello, hi.
Do you need to meet with these guys?
No problem. No, they,
you guys are from the lottery?
Yeah.
Hi.
Frank Price is Lucky Mart's sales rep. He's got three regional guys with him.
Mr. Park was going to be awarded today this plaque for the number one retailer in the state of Illinois.
Price says they didn't know I'd be here. This visit is an annual ritual. He says the store's focus and location are key, and customer service, especially Becky Reedy. Frank Taylor, the Chicago area's sales director, calls her the best he's ever seen.
She's super with the players, and she's like really into the lottery.
But when I talk to her, she says she doesn't play anymore, calls it a bad habit. I ask her if she feels a little funny about selling it.
Oh, yeah. You know, because I know the economy sucks. You know, money can go elsewhere.
She says she couldn't work in a casino. But here's the thing. Casinos pay back a much bigger percentage of what customers bet than the lottery. In Chicago, at Lucky Mart, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And do they do electronics recycling in your town? Dot matrix printers and microwave ovens are usually welcome. There's news from the United Nations University today that the U.S. disposes of the most electronic waste in the world. They're counting old fridges and washers in this. China and Japan also throw out a lot. But per capita, the Europeans dump the most electronic or electric stuff. Only 16% of the junk you once plugged in gets recycled worldwide. The U.N. sees this waste as ore that needs to be mined. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.